I want to teach you tonight from Luke chapter 4, verse 1. I read verse 8 as well. I've used this passage before lots of times, but it's like I love the manifold wisdom of the Word of God. You read it again and you see something you've never seen before. I'm not going to give you a great revelation, but I do want to talk to you about being led. And so when we look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, we see in Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. This is shortly after being baptized by John. And as the song said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him. And it's my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. So he's coming out from Jordan. He's full of the Holy Ghost and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, that seems to not be what the Spirit would do, because we want to shout and run and jump and speak in tongues and we want all the jubilation. But the Spirit, it says, led him into the wilderness. In verse 8, it said, "And Jesus answered and said unto Satan, to him, Get thee behind me, Satan." Okay, wait a minute. Satan must have taken the lead. See, Satan must have got ahead. And this is what I saw that I'd never seen before. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan." It seemed like he told another man that, because he wanted to take the lead. "I got a sword, and he said, you can't take the lead. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." I want to talk to you about regaining the lead. Regaining the lead. Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity we have on this Tuesday night. It is a big world we live in. While we're talking, some are sleeping, some are doing other things around the world. But God, you hear. When your word goes out, you hear your word. Hallelujah, because it is your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you're here tonight in this little community, in this church. Bless us tonight as we endeavor to study it, your word, and apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. The Bible compares man to that of a sheep, does he not? You read throughout the Bible, man is like a sheep. And even David said, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." So he himself is relating to himself as being a sheep. "I shall not want." See, a shepherd makes sure the sheep have no want, right? That's what a shepherd does. He leads them to water. He leads them to green pastures. He makes them lie down beside still water. He leads them through the valley of shadow death, meaning through wolves and lions and things like this. But though he goes through it, "Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies." I'm a sheep. Say, I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. And if you're a sheep, you have to be led. Sheep don't lead. Shepherds lead. And so shepherds are leaders because they are familiar with the territory, right? The shepherd, you know, you don't put somebody to be shepherd over something that they're not familiar with already the terrain. And so the Lord is my shepherd. That means he's already been to places he wants to lead me, because he already knows where the green pasture is. He already knows where the water is. He already knows where the table and how to prepare these things for me in the presence of my enemies. Almost everything in life that we do, believe it or not, is influenced by something else. Almost everything you do is influenced by something else that led you to do it. That's right. I don't care what you name it. Something led you to do it. And so we truly are sheep, and we live by action and reaction. And I've said many times, 20% of life is just the action. It's just what happens in life. But 80% is how you react to what happened. Right? Most troubles you see is how people reacted to what happened. And it would have been a different outcome had you not reacted, perhaps, the way you acted. And so to lead me is the ability for me to follow you. Now, if I don't want you to lead me, you're not going to lead me. I have to submit, right? To submit. And if I submit to you, then you truly are leading me. But if you have to tie me and bind me, you're dragging me. I'm following you, but you're not leading me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm following you, but you're not leading me. I want to be led, and I want to lead you. did not Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ? So as long as you perceive that I'm following Christ, you ought to be willing to follow me. I mean, that's the way it ought to be. I'm not asking you to do that, because if I have to get you to do that, make you to do that, I'm just dragging you. And so I want to be led by the Spirit, because I trust the one that's leading me. I trust the Spirit of the Lord. But I don't want the Spirit to... I understand that the Spirit sometimes bades us. In one place it said the Holy Ghost bade us that we should not go in. I mean, it was more forceful. It was more forceful, saying they thought they would go. And they said, no, the Holy Ghost is not leading us there. So I only want to go where the Holy Ghost leads. Now, there are two leaders in the world. There are two leaders, the power of light and the power of darkness. That is the two leaders in the world, right? Think of all the leaders you want. It's light and it's darkness. And the most powerful of the two leaders is light. Because when light shows up, darkness dissipates. It goes away, right? So he talked to the Pharisees. He said, you are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both go in the ditch and they remain in darkness. But light comes, you see, that's why David said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, right? So the light is something that leads us. When I walk around, I don't hold my flashlight back here. I don't walk ahead of the light. I use the light and I'm in darkness, right? It's me that's in darkness and I want to follow the light because it's leading me. Say he leads me. He leads me. He leads me by light. He does not lead me by darkness. He leads me by light. But if I, I don't care how well you know your house. I don't care how well you know your house. Turn all the lights off. I don't care how many times you got out of that bed and went to that bathroom. You've done it 1,000 times, but I promise you, with no lights, you're going to be out like this. You go, where's that? Because you need light to lead you. You've got to have the light leading you. No matter how well you think you know how to live for God, without the light leading you, you will stumble and fall. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day when men can see how to work, but when night cometh, no man can work? I'm getting excited. And I just want to teach you about light and darkness. And I want to talk first about the power of darkness. It is amazing, being a hunter like I am, that the turnover that happens at night is unbelievable. You can sit in that deer blind all day and maybe never see a coyote. You certainly don't hear them. Every once in a while, one will sneak across, but you don't hear them. You don't see the creatures of the night. But when it comes about sunset, there's something inside of them that is aroused, that power of darkness. They're creatures of darkness, and they're preying, listen, on the creatures of light who are abiding in darkness. And so they take advantage of you not having the light. Now, if it's daytime, I ain't touching that. I never would do that. Oh, not my soul. I'd never do that. But when it's dark and ain't nobody around, maybe one time. Yeah. And so what happens is he takes advantage, even though you're children of light, he takes advantage of the darkness. And so I want to talk a little bit. Even Jesus said, he said, they came after him. In the daytime? No, it's night. And they came with lanterns and with swords and with staves, sticks, and swords. And he said, I sat daily in the temple teaching, and you never came after me. But now is your hour and the power of darkness. See, he was the light. But they came out in darkness. Sometimes you have to study the enemy. And I'm going to do a little study tonight on the enemy. Sometimes you have to study the enemy in order to know what to do and what not to do. Now, I assure you that football teams that play each other, the week before they're playing, they're looking at the other team and how they played against another team. And so they can remember that formation. They can remember that pass. They can remember all these things. And if he goes back this way, then you go this way. They're studying the enemy. And we would be fools tonight not to study the enemy. For the Bible says we are not ignorant to Satan's devices. Why aren't we ignorant? Because we need to study what it is, how he operates, because he is, the Bible says he's, we call it the prince of the air, but it says he's the prince of the power of the air. That's what it says. And our God is the prince of peace, and they oppose each other. So sometimes we just need to study how things happen. And if I know how it happens, I might can prevent it from happening, right? But if I don't, if I'm going to be a fool and not know how it happens, I'm going to keep falling over. I'm going to keep falling over the same thing time. You're like, how does this keep happening to me? Well, I can tell you. You didn't learn anything from the last time. So darkness always brings one thing, emptiness. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And the earth was void and without form, and what was on the face of the earth? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and darkness went away. And there was light. And so from that moment on, the light began to lead the whole world. Then he, because there was light, then there could be trees and herbs and fish and man, because the light came first. And so when light comes, there's always a new leader in darkness that emerges. And we know that wherever there is sin abounds, grace does much more abound. We always need the light of Christ to lead us to the grace of God, because without it, we stay in darkness. Now, I want to talk to you just a few minutes about darkness is a product of sin. Sin is always tough to talk about to a church because the people that come to church kind of act like they don't have any. And we're all praying for everybody else. The truth be known. As I said, I'm glad I got the Bible because it's perfect, because we're not. 1 John 5:17 says, now I want to show you two definitions of sin. You won't get away from them. You can't escape from this. All unrighteousness is what? Ooh. All unrighteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is things that is right in the sight of God. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death, meaning we have forgiveness for sin. But there also, he said, is a sin unto death. But the thing is, without forgiveness of sin, it ends up in darkness. Death is absence of light. It's absence of God. That's what death is. Now, James 4:17, he says it this way. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There you go. So here's the two categories right here. All unrighteousness is sin. And then him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. I won't ask tonight, but are there any sinners in the house? See, we want to act like we don't have any problem with sin. But the truth is, unless we're led by the Spirit, we will err from the truth. We will. Now, these two categories are very easy to get out of the channel which God wants us to be and get out of that channel into a path that would lead to sin. He said, make no provision for the flesh to do what? Fulfill the lust thereof. Make no provision. Pro means before, right? Vision means to see. So if you can foresee where this leads, you're headed for sin. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Because what's going to happen, you're going to end up in darkness. You're going to end up sinning. And if there's one message you need to hear, perhaps it's this tonight. Sometimes you just better quit the shouting, quit the running, quit the dancing, quit the speaking, and learn something about the enemy. The lack of knowledge does not exclude you from sin. God was not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Acts 17 and 30 said, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, meaning in the time of Moses under the law. Because under Moses' law, there was a provision if you didn't know. I didn't know. Well, then they had their day in court. But in these times, he said, I don't wink in ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. He's not going to wink at ignorance. So, I mean, okay, you run a red light and tell the cop you didn't know. He don't wink at it either. And so it is, in a day that we live in, with as much social media as there have, I've never seen so much ignorance about Christ in all my life. Amen. We're more ignorant than we ever were about God and the things of God and the truth of God. And quoting scripture, tell you every quarterback that plays for every team can't name you the 12 apostles. It's the truth. Quote the books of the Bible. Can't do it. Ignorance is no excuse. I saw a man one time, he was passing out Bibles. In fact, he was passing them out here. And I asked him, he just kind of didn't ask me, he just started doing it. I said, well, wait a minute, what you doing? Well, I'm passing out Bibles. I said, well, I'm for that, but I want to see what you're passing out. What Bible is it? Well, it's okay with it. It's King James Version, it's all right. And he got a little offended because I stopped him and questioned him. And he let me know, called me back and let me know that. There's a lot of things goes on I'd have to tend to, y'all don't know. And he let me know that. And here's what his angle, here's what he told me. He said, I can't believe, you know, you stopped from writing. I said, this is a church. We have Bibles, you know. I'm okay, you're passing out to people that already have them, but I like to know who's coming in here to pass out Bibles. And so, anyway, his deal was, it was double standard. He said, we're passing out the Word of God, so people won't be lost, so they'll know the Word of God. Then he proceeded on to tell me that if you don't know, you're saved anyway. So if you don't know anything about God, you're saved. But we're passing out Bibles to let them know about God. I said, no, you're sending them to hell is what you're doing. Based on what you're telling me, I said, what you're telling me is that if they don't know, it's okay, they go to heaven. But if you give them the truth and they don't abide with it, then what? I said, they go to hell. So why pass the Bibles out? You're sending them to hell. Just let them be ignorant if that's the case. The truth is, it's not the case. He didn't come back. When and how does sin occur? Watch this. James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Anybody ever been tempted? Absolutely. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Everyone's going to be tried, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Oh, Lord, he say, you love me, keep my commandments. We've got to endure temptation. In the Lord's Prayer, he prayed this. He said, lead us not. Isn't that what he's prayed? But yet we go into temptation. Yet he said, pray on this wise, lead me not. I still pray, lead me not. I don't like to be tempted. I do not like to be tempted. I've said this before, maybe you didn't catch it, but I was unloading my four-wheeler and some things at the office, and I had some ramps that you go up on the four-wheeler. And I had unloaded the four-wheeler, put it in, the shop back in the back, and I took the ramps and I put them on the gate by my office right there where if you drive by or drive up, you could see they're there, but they're on the inside. You see, they're behind the bars. I went in the shop and I come back out and I saw those there. I said, well, there's nobody. Oh, I said, you know, they may be tempted to break in, cut the lock, go around the fence. So if I remove that out of their sight, they won't be tempted. Huh. And I taught myself something. Lead me not. remove from me. David said, I'll set no abominable thing before my eyes. You see, Lord, remove from me what could tempt me. Because if a thief comes by and he sees that, he wants it, then he's going to go through. I'm going to show you, this is a pattern of sin. And if you can study the enemy long enough, you can catch yourself before you reach the end. Okay, and that's why sometimes when people well think out their sins, it's a little bit harder for me sometimes to have as much mercy perhaps as I need, because it's like you could have turned around on any of these roads right here. Now, believe me, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we should have mercy, but we need to learn from our mistakes. So lead me away from temptation. Temptation is when evil takes the lead. See, I'm talking about regaining the lead, in case you forgot where I was going. Temptation is that part where you're changing the leader. You're changing. Now, the Holy Ghost filled little boy or girl that you are, and you were just shouting last night. You were just reading your Bible this morning. You had that prayer thing, that bread thing you pulled out. But now you're tempted. And here's where you change leaders if you're not careful. Let no man say when he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. He does allow the devil to try you and to tempt you. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. You may have a lust that I don't have. If you're a recovered alcoholic, praise the Lord, I thank God, you better keep that bottle out of your sight. Don't put one in your pantry and say, hey, I've got enough Holy Ghost to resist that. Now, you can put one in my pantry, it ain't never going to make me want to drink it. You have your own lust. And you better keep out of your sight and out of your reach and around from people that encourage you to go to the next step. Because what happens is, it takes the lead. Drawn away of your own lust. And that enticement is that thinking it through. How am I going to do this? See, if those ramps are sitting up there, somebody come by, they could be tempted and say, man, I'd love to take them ramps, but they're behind that fence there. Nah, I'm going to leave them there. But they're still tempted, but that enticement says, how am I going to do this? Let's see, he don't have that gate locked. I got a sawzall. I'll take care of that. And that you see, now you've changed leaders completely. You're almost to the point you can't back up. Okay? Watch, because there is a point where you won't. So he's drawn away with temptation, and it begins to lead him, and then he's enticed, so you're almost there. Temptation is what comes before sin. And when lust hath conceived, okay, a man and woman come together, right? Once there's a conception, there's gonna be a baby, okay? The same thing when you come together with your leader, there's gonna be a baby. It's already conceived. You say, well, I didn't do it. It's still conceived. The Bible says a man should look upon a woman to have her. He's already done it in him. Huh? It's a conception. Every man is tempted, but not conceived. It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished with you, it brings forth death, which is darkness. It pulls you back into darkness. You have changed leaders. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you have. The Holy Ghost is a leader, not a follower. But if you put the Holy Ghost behind you and you put sin in front of you, the Holy Ghost is back there just following, trying to follow you. Hey, don't do it. Don't do it. I wouldn't do that if I was you. You won't. Do not err, E-R-R, my brethren, my beloved brethren. So he's telling us how to get out of the way. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to saints. And he's telling saints, do not err. He said, don't get off track. Here's the process. James is teaching us the pattern of sin. And I'm here to tell and preach to you tonight, if you can stop it before you change leaders, you won't be enticed. And it won't be a conception. And it ain't going to happen. It is sin that leads to death. It was Adam or Eve. Let's start with Eve, who was in the garden that day. They ended up with death. right? But they went through the same pattern of being tempted, drawn away of your own desires. It was a fruit to be desired. Who doesn't want to be wise? And she was enticed. Oh, come on. You know, God's hiding something from you. And then there was a conception. And once that conception was there, they had that baby. The eyes were open and sin had dominion from all the way till Jesus Christ came. Sin brings a conception. So in order to avoid sin, that's really what we have to do is avoid sin. We need to be led by the Spirit to regain the lead. I will tell you, all of us, I'm talking to the church tonight, had God as our leader and we've had Christ, but we've changed leads at times. And we've been led astray, as the Bible says. And in order to avoid sin, we must have Christ to lead us in our life in everything that we do. For as many as are led by the Spirit, the Bible says, they are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit. Say, He leads me. Three of y'all got it. Say, He leads me. I want Him to lead me. I'm asking you, lead me, not into temptation. Lead me beside the still waters. Lead me wherever you want to lead me. But Lord, deliver me from evil. John 16 and 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will shew you things to come. Oh, that's the part I like right there. He will shew you things to come. Don't mess with that right there. Let me tell you, evil spirits don't go with godly spirits. Let me tell you, bitter and sweet water can't come out of this thing. There's nothing good going to come out of that situation. Now you hear me, there's nothing good. He leads me. Before I get there, he tells me, don't mess with this. So I'm not tempted. Or you understand what I'm trying to teach you. He leads me away from it so that I'm not tempted. Oh, God. He shows us things to come. Did you know two people can't lead you? I tell people all the time, do you want me to teach you a Bible study? I'll teach you a Bible study. But I'm not going to teach one, somebody else teach you one. Two people, you can't eat at two tables, the Bible says. Bitter and sweet water can't come out of two fountains. Let me tell you, I'm all right with the Scripture says Apollos planted, Paul watered, God gave the increase. They worked together, but they didn't both plant, they didn't both water. But it's still God that gave the increase. So I don't mind being the planter, I don't mind being the water, I don't mind being the baptizer, I don't baptizing you, I don't mind doing whatever my part is. But when it's my part, it's my part. We don't share parts. And the reason is you have to have who's your leader. Who's going to lead you? The Lord chose Moses to lead them out of Egypt bondage, out of darkness. And he, let me tell you why he chose Moses. Been there, done that. He sent him into Pharaoh's house for many years to learn about Egyptian ways. Then when he fled from there, where did he go? The wilderness, to learn about the wilderness. So when it was time to pick a leader, who does he pick? Moses. Been there, done that. And then when he got ready to go across Jordan River, who does he pick? Joshua. Been there, done that. And what did they do? Studied the enemy. Let's go spy out the land and see if it be this, see if it be that, see what we got to do to conquer. Study the enemy and let's see whether we're able to do this or not. And a report from two of them come back and said, we're well able to do it because they were led by the Spirit. If the Spirit leads you into something, the Spirit will lead you out of it. The Spirit led him into the wilderness, and the Spirit led him out of the wilderness. Am I helping anybody? It's interesting that the first words when Christ came on the scene, some of the first words that he said, you know, darkness was upon the earth. It was basically Genesis again, 400 years of darkness. And the Bible says, and it's prophesied in Isaiah, light sprang up in a dark place. And that's what Christ was. He was the light that sprang up in a dark place. And when he first started his ministry, you know what he did? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. No. Me. And I I, follow me, and I, are you catching that, will make you fishers of men. But if you don't follow me and let me make you, you will never make it. You never make it. So he started saying, follow me. And they began to follow him. And they began to follow him. And so it is with you and I tonight. With the first calling we ever get is to follow somebody. Right? You better be careful who you follow. I can tell you there's times that some people will lead you to a certain point. And that's all their destiny is, to lead you to that point. And you better let them go. If they start doing wrong, we'll say, bless God, thank God you led me this far. But this is where I check out with you. Now, let's go back real quick, Luke 4 and 1. Because it's interesting that Jesus said, follow me. He must have been qualified to say that. Been there, done that, right? And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And when Jesus was led up, now Matthew said it this way. I want you to read Matthew 4 and 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So it's very clear here, the Spirit led him into a place where he could change leaders. He could change. This is the place where you determine what you're going to follow. That's why he said, blessed is the one that endureth temptation, for he shall receive a crown of life. If you stay with the same leader that led you in, he'll lead you out. And so verse 4 and 2 of Luke, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. I'm telling you, the best people I love to preach to are hungry people. That's why I like new people. Like the Ice Snoggle's been coming here, and some over here, the other couple that's been coming. Because some of y'all, I'm afraid, may get tired of me. Get tired. You know, it's like when Jesus went to Simon's house. I've told y'all that. He went to Simon's house. Simon knew Jesus. Jesus, get your seat over there. Sit down. We'll be with you in a minute. But there was a lady that came in that night, busted through there, fell at his feet. She's not used to that. She knew he was on, the Bible says she knew he was on his way to burial. How come they didn't know that? And she gave up what she had to give to him and to anoint him, because she knew his time was close. And I don't have him much longer. I better take advantage. But Jesus, we'll get with you in a minute. And when he scolded them, he said, Simon, I have aught against thee. Well, Master, what you got? He said, when I came in here, you didn't anoint my head. You didn't wash my feet. She has not ceased washing my feet. I'm telling you, hungry people are vulnerable. They're vulnerable to anything. They're vulnerable to the Word of God. They're vulnerable to failure. They're vulnerable to make mistakes. But they're open. And so here we find Jesus after 40 days of fasting. He's hungry. He said, and he hungered. Now he's vulnerable. This is when you change leaders, is when you're vulnerable. This is when you make those mistakes. If you're full and you just ate, I don't care how much. I can't offer you anything that you would want. Because I'm so full. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. But yet he hungered. And so the devil said, if you be the Son of God, make this stone into bread. Well, he's hungry. This is where he would have changed leaders. And I'm running out of time, but I'm just going to tell you this. Finally, he brings him up to a high mountain. And he said, that's enough. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall they worship. Thou art an offense. Get thee behind me. It's right there where you change leaders. He could have done that, and the book would read different. Get thee behind me. And once again, Peter, Lord, be it not so. You're not going to go to the cross. He said, no. You're an offense to me. You're not going to lead me away from what I was called to do. Get behind me. We have to know at what point that we need to don't change leaders, to let Christ keep leading you. Anytime you can look down that road and you can see that where it ends is not in a godly place. I get asked this all the time. Is it a sin to do this? Usually the people that ask that, yeah, they know. And the answer is most always this: where does it stop? Where does it stop. Because that determines. See, every man is tempted. Stop there, no sin. No sin. No sin. We're tempted. We're tempted. That's not sin, to be tempted. But then when lust is conceived, well, when does it become sin? It depends on where it stops. So, Pastor, can I do this? Can I do that? It depends on where you stop. Well, so-and-so does this. It doesn't matter what so-and-so does. It's where you stop. Every man is tempted of whose lust? His own lust. And sometimes people can do the same thing you do, and, you know, it's between them and God. Ooh, I got to close. Y'all come tonight. The Bible says, and I'm going to go all the way down to Luke 4 and 12. And Jesus answered and said to him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all of his temptation, which is the next verse, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power. You see, this was where there would have been a change of power. The power of darkness would have overcome the power of light. Right there on that mountain. Had he not said, get thee behind me, Satan. Everybody gets hungry. I'd like to believe that the old man is dead. I preached a sermon here one time called I Thought You Were Dead. You remember that? Anybody remember that? I Thought You Were Dead. Paul said, I thought that old man was crucified. He said, but when sin kicked up, I revived. I found out it was still in me. All that Peter said, no, I'm not prejudiced. No, I'm not like that. But Paul called him a little later and he told him to his face, I saw you when you got ready to sit down at the table, you went over to the other table with them Jews. You didn't sit with them Gentiles and you did that on purpose. I saw that. Still in you, buddy. It's still. I'm telling you, you will never be totally dead to that old man. He's still there. But you better keep the light on because it keeps him dead. It keeps him dead. As long as the light on, darkness is gone. Darkness is free. You better keep the light on in your house. Hallelujah. Know when and where to cut it off. Cut it off. Whew. I got to close. I love you tonight. Let's stand. We're going to sing a song.